Chapter 5. Not conceal from him, and yet that I could not tell how to tell him of it neither, that it was a thing that not only surprised me, but greatly perplexed me, and that I knew not what course to take, unless he would direct me. He told me with great tenderness, that let it be what it would, I should not let it trouble me, for he would protect me from all the world. I then began at a distance, and told him I was afraid the ladies had got some secret information of our correspondence, for that it was easy to see that their conduct was very much changed towards me for a great while, and that now it was come to that pass that they frequently found fault with me, and sometimes fell quite out with me, though I never gave them the least occasion, that whereas I used always to lie with the eldest sister, I was lately put to lie by myself, or with one of the maids, and that I had overheard them several times talking very unkindly about me, but that which confirmed it all was, that one of the servants had told me that she had heard I was to be turned out, and that it was not safe for the family that I should be any longer in the house. He smiled when he heard all this, and I asked him how he could make so light of it, when he must needs know that, if there was any discovery, I was undone forever, and that even it would hurt him, though not ruin him as it would me. I upbraided him that he was like all the rest of the sex, that, when they had the character and honor of a woman at their mercy, oftentimes made it their jest, and at least looked upon it as a trifle, and counted the ruin of those they had at their will of as a thing of no value. He saw me warm and serious, and he changed his style immediately. He told me he was sorry I should have such a thought of him, that he had never given me the least occasion for it, but had been as tender of my reputation as he could be of his own, that he was sure our correspondence had been managed with so much address, that not one creature in the family had so much as a suspicion of it, that if he smiled when I told him my thoughts, it was at the assurance he lately received, that our understanding one another was not so much as known or guessed at, and that when he had told me how much reason he had to be easy, I should smile as he did, for he was very certain it would give me a full satisfaction. This is a mystery I cannot understand, apostrophe says I, or how it should be to my satisfaction that I am to be turned out of doors, for if our correspondence is not discovered, I know not what else I have done to change the countenances of the whole family to me, or to have them treat me as they do now, who formerly used me with so much tenderness, as if I had been one of their own children. Apostrophe, why, look you, child, apostrophe says he, that they are uneasy about you, that is true, but that they have the least suspicion of the case as it is, and as it respects you and I, is so far from being true, that they suspect my brother Robin, and, in short, they are fully persuaded he makes love to you. Nay, the fool has put it into their heads to himself, for he is continually bantering them about it, and making a jest of himself. I confess I think he is wrong to do so, because he cannot but see it vexes them, and makes them unkind to you, but 'tis a satisfaction to me, because of the assurance it gives me, that they do not suspect me in the least, and I hope this will be to your satisfaction too. Apostrophe, so it is, apostrophe says I, one way, but this does not reach my case at all, nor is this the chief thing that troubles me, though I have been concerned about that too. Apostrophe, what is it then? Apostrophe says he, with which I fell to tears, and could say nothing to him at all. He strove to pacify me all he could, but began at last to be very pressing upon me to tell what it was. At last I answered that I thought I ought to tell him to, and that he had some right to know it, besides, that I wanted his direction in the case, for I was in such perplexity that I knew not what course to take, and then I related the whole affair to him. I told him how imprudently his brother had managed himself in making himself so public, for that if he had kept it a secret, as such a thing ought to have been, I could but have denied him positively, without giving any reason for it, and he would in time have ceased his solicitations, but that he had the vanity, first, to depend upon it, that I would not deny him, and then had taken the freedom, to tell his resolution of having me to the whole house. I told him how far I had resisted him, and told him how sincere and honorable his offers were. But, apostrophe says I, my case will be doubly hard, for as they carry it ill to me now, because he desires to have me, they'll carry it worse, when they shall find I have denied him, and they will presently say, there's something else in it, and then out it comes, that I am married already to somebody else, or that I would never refuse a match, so much above me as this was. Apostrophe, this discourse surprised him indeed very much. He told me, that it was a critical point indeed for me to manage, and he did not see which way I should get out of it, but he would consider it, and let me know next time we met, what resolution he was come to about it, and in the meantime desired I would not give my consent to his brother, nor yet give him a flat denial, but that I would hold him in suspense a while. I seemed to start at his saying I should not give him my consent. I told him he knew very well I had no consent to give, that he had engaged himself to marry me, and that my consent was the same time engaged to him, that he had all along told me I was his wife, and I looked upon myself as effectually so, as if the ceremony had passed, and that it was from his own mouth that I did so, he having all along persuaded me to call myself his wife. Well, my dear, apostrophe says he, don't be concerned at that now. If I am not your husband, I'll be as good as a husband to you, and do not let those things trouble you now, but let me look a little farther into this affair, and I shall be able to say more next time we meet. Apostrophe, he pacified me as well as he could with this, but I found he was very thoughtful, and that though he was very kind to me, and kissed me a thousand times, and more I believe, and gave me money too, yet he offered, no more all the while we were together, which was above 2 hours, and which I much wondered at indeed at that time, considering how it used to be, and what opportunity we had. His brother did not come from London for 5 or 6 days, and it was 2 days more, before he got an opportunity to talk with him, but then getting him by himself he began to talk very close to him about it, and the same evening got an opportunity, for we had a long conference together, to repeat all their discourse to me, which, as near as I can remember, was to the purpose following. He told him he heard strange news of him since he went, viz. That he made love to Mrs. Betty. Well, says his brother a little angrily, and so I do. And what then? What has anybody to do with that? Apostrophe nay, says his brother, don't be angry, Robin. I don't pretend to have anything to do with it, nor do I pretend to be angry with you about it. But I find they do concern themselves about it, and that they have used the poor girl ill about it, which I should take as done to myself. Apostrophe whom do you mean by they? Apostrophe says Robin. I mean my mother and the girls, apostrophe says the elder brother. But harky, apostrophe says his brother, are you in earnest? Do you really love this girl? You may be free with me, you know. Apostrophe why then, apostrophe says Robin, I will be free with you. I do love her above all the women in the world, and I will have her, let them say, and do what they will. I believe the girl will not deny me. Apostrophe, it struck me to the heart, when he told me this, for though it was most rational to think I would not deny him, yet I knew in my own conscience I must deny him, and I saw my ruin in my being obliged to do so. But I knew it was my business to talk otherwise then, so I interrupted him in his story thus. Hey, apostrophe said I, does he think I cannot deny him? But he shall find I can deny him, for all that. Apostrophe, well, my dear, apostrophe says he, but let me give you the whole story as it went on between us, and then say what you will. Apostrophe, then he went on, and told me, that he replied thus. But, brother, you know she has nothing, and you may have several ladies with good fortunes. Apostrophe, 'tis no matter for that. Apostrophe, said Robin. I love the girl, and I will never please my pocket in marrying, and not please my fancy. Apostrophe, and so, my dear, apostrophe, adds he, there is no opposing him. Apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, says I, you shall see I can oppose him. I have learned to say no, now though I had not learned it before. If the best lord in the land offered me marriage now, I could very cheerfully say no to him. Apostrophe, well, but, my dear, apostrophe, says he, what can you say to him? You know, as you said when we talked of it before, he will ask you many questions about it, and all the house will wonder what the meaning of it should be. Apostrophe, why, apostrophe, says I, smiling, I can stop all their mouths at one clap by telling him, and them too, that I am married already to his elder brother. Apostrophe, he smiled a little too at the word, but I could see it startled him, and he could not hide the disorder it put him into. However, he returned, why, though that may be true in some sense, yet I suppose you are but in jest, when you talk of giving such an answer as that, it may not be convenient on many accounts. Apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe, says I pleasantly, I am not so fond of letting the secret come out without your consent. Apostrophe, but what, then, can you say to him, or to them, apostrophe, says he, when they find you positive against a match which would be apparently so much to your advantage? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, apostrophe, says I, should I be at a loss? First of all, I am not obliged to give me any reason at all. On the other hand, I may tell him I am married already, and stop there, and that will be a full stop to him, for he can have no reason to ask one question after it. Apostrophe, a, apostrophe, says he, but the whole house will tease you about that, even to father and mother, and if you deny them positively, they will be disobliged at you, and suspicious besides. Apostrophe, why, apostrophe, says I, what can I do? What would have me do? I was in straight enough before, and as I told you, I was in perplexity before, and acquainted you with the circumstances, that I might have your advice. Apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe, says he, I have been considering very much upon it, you may be sure, and though it is a piece of advice, that has a great many mortifications in it to me, and may at first seem strange to you, yet, all things considered, I see no better way for you than to let him go on, and if you find him hearty and in earnest, marry him. Apostrophe, I gave him a look full of horror at those words, and, turning pale as death, was at the very point of sinking down out of the chair I sat in, when, giving a start, my dear, apostrophe, says he aloud, what's the matter with you? Where are you a-going? Apostrophe, and a great many such things, and with jogging, and called to me, fetched me a little to myself, though it was a good while before I fully recovered my senses, and was not able to speak for several minutes more. When I was fully recovered he began again. My dear, apostrophe, says he, what made you so surprised at what I said? I would have you consider seriously of it. You may see plainly how the family stand in this case, and they would be stark mad, if it was my case, as it is my brother's. And for aught I see, it would be my ruin and yours too. Apostrophe, a. Apostrophe, apostrophe, says I, still speaking angrily, are all your protestations and vows to be shaken by the dislike of the family? Did I not always object that to you, and you made light thing of it, as what you were above, and would value, and does it come to this now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. Is this your faith and honor, your love, and the solidity of your promises? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he continued perfectly calm, notwithstanding all my reproaches, and I was not sparing of them at all, but he replied at last, my dear, I have not broken one promise with you yet. I did tell you I would marry you when I was come to my estate, but you see my father is a hale, healthy man, and may live these 30 years still, and not be older than several around us in town, and you never proposed my marrying you sooner, because you knew it might be my ruin. And as to all the rest, I have not failed you in anything, you have wanted for nothing. I could not deny a word of this, and had nothing to say to it in general. But why then, says I, can you persuade me to such a horrid step as leaving you, since you have not left me? Will you allow no affection, no love on my side, where there has been so much on your side? Have I made you no returns? Have I given no testimony of my sincerity and of my passion? Are the sacrifices I have made of honor and modesty to you no proof of my being tied to you in bonds too strong to be broken? But here, my dear, says he, you may come into a safe station, and appear with honor and with splendor at once, and the remembrance of what we have done may be wrapped up in an eternal silence, as if it had never happened. You shall always have my respect, and my sincere affection, only then it shall be honest, and perfectly just to my brother. You shall be my dear sister, as now you are my dear and there he stopped. Your dear whore, says I, you would have said, if you had gone on, and you might as well have said it, but I understand you. However, I desire you to remember the long discourses you have had with me, and the many hours pains you have taken to persuade me to believe myself an honest woman, that I was your wife intentionally, though not in the eyes of the world, and that it was as effectual a marriage that had passed between us as we had been publicly wedded by the parson of the parish. You know and cannot but remember that these have been your own words to me. I found this was a little too close upon him, but I made it up in what follows. He stood stock still for a while and said nothing, and I went on thus. You cannot, says I, without the highest injustice, believe that I yielded upon all these persuasions without a love not to be questioned, not to be shaken again by anything that could happen afterward. If you have such dishonorable thoughts of me, I must ask you, what foundation in any of my behavior have I given for such a suggestion? If, then, I have yielded to the importunities of my affection, and if I have been persuaded to believe that I am really, and in the essence of the thing, your wife, shall I now give the lie to all those arguments, and call myself your whore, or mistress, which is the same thing? And will you transfer me to your brother? Can you transfer my affection? Can you bid me cease loving you, and bid me love him? It is in my power, think you, to make such a change at demand? No, sir, said I, depend upon it is impossible, and whatever the change of your side may be, I will ever be true. And I had much rather, since it has come that unhappy length, be your whore than your brother's wife. He appeared pleased and touched with the impression of this. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.